to do. We've done everything. It's really quite strange up to this point.
Rate it real quick on a 1 to 10. How difficult is it?
It's hard to say. Yeah, I mean, what, like, just from getting from there to here? It's not that difficult. It is and it's not. It depends. Okay, it depends what your aspirations are. You know, there are plenty of bands that we know, we love, and that are very happy, let's say, that they are being acknowledged and loved in their home countries, for example. And that's it for them. It's like, okay, cool. You know, we get to put out music and make what we want, but we want everything and more. And we want to be the biggest and the best band in the world. So once you have that on your plate, then, yeah, life can get more difficult than, let's say, the average kind of group or artist. But honestly, like, we've all worked jobs, you know. I mean, I've been numerous waiters, and I was had to clean up poo-poo for like a year and a half as a cleaner. And to live and breathe what you do is definitely, that's the best thing about, let's say, I don't want to say making it, but having the chance to make your music and be creative every day and not kind of like wake up doing the 9 to 5 kind of stuff. That's brilliant.
How about you, Adam?
What do you think? 1 to 10?
What was the question?
How hard is the rock and roll lifestyle? 1 to 10.
It's easy if you love it, I think. What's that? You don't work a day in your life if you love what you something like
that.
Anyway.
Who said that? That was John Lennon himself.
Was it? Yeah. I mean, it can be difficult when you're doing like 3 shows in a row and you not have much sleep, whatever, or, you know, you're flying around and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I always have to like just. It's easy to get lost in the moment, but when you have to like just pull yourself out of it, just think how lucky I am to be actually called this like a job. Do you know what I mean? So it's not. I wouldn't say it's difficult. I think you have to be very lucky to pick it up to where we have just getting signed and stuff like that. That's just the first step. So
yeah, I mean, you quickly realize, oh my God, I am living my dream. How hard is this? Well, it can be hard, but it's also doing something that I would do 24/7.
I think it's as hard as you want it to be. I think if you look after yourself and you're kind of like focused on the most important things, the jobs at hand, i.e. like the shows and touring and things like that, then it gets easier. But if you get distracted with all the other nonsense that can surround you while you're in this business, that you make it difficult for yourself. I think the things for us as a band, what's most difficult is spending so much time away from home. That's kind of like the abnormal thing. What separates us from a lot of people and a lot of bands that come from the UK is just the amount of time that we spend here, especially. It's great, like we love it, but you can't, home is home. Like anyone who has friends and, you know, family that you're close to or whoever, it's like when you're away from that, it's nice, it's great to get away for like 2 or 3 weeks. And then when that 3 weeks turns to 3 months or whatever, that's when it can be difficult. It's like a great job, but it has its own unique difficulties with it. But the positive definitely outweighs the negative. I don't want to put you off.
What about you, Jen? Ethan?
I mean, as Adam said, I think when you love what you're doing, like we've been in your guys' shoes at your age learning our instruments and kind of dreaming of wanting to make it into a professional career. And so whenever there are times when we feel really tired or we have fans waiting outside our tour bus, I remember being a kid and doing that for other bands. And the fact that we do get to do it now professionally is just kind of, that's a kind of pinch me moment sometimes. So whenever it does get difficult, you can remind yourself of when us guys were kind of, 13, 14 in bands at school and things like that. And then yeah, you reflect on what you've achieved, that's quite that cheers you up a bit.
Yeah, sure.
You also have to love what you do, because it's never enough. Nothing is ever enough. Like, even the opportunities that we've had, like supporting the Foo Fighters, opening up for the Rolling Stones, getting to release now our second album, it's not enough. Like, we get together as a group and we're like, we're still never satisfied. And I don't think you ever do become satisfied, really. That's why people just keep playing and playing and playing, and they get addicted to the live aspect of getting the music out there and feeding that energy, getting that energy from the audience. And if you love what you do, then everything just becomes a lot easier. It's like you can carry on going because you just love to play. That's the most important thing. You have to love what you do, and then anything that comes after that, you're either extremely lucky, but you're never satisfied.
Cool, thank you. So I wanted to open up the floor to a couple of questions to our audience. Does anyone in the audience have a question? Oh, go ahead. Trey is a guitar player here. Go ahead, Trey.
So this is really for, I guess, all you guys. Like, who or what really inspired you to, you know, become a musician and play?
Well, for me, it was not... It wasn't singing to begin with for me at all. It was just... I was super into dance and just performing in general. It was just something that I just always enjoyed doing, and I used to like lock myself away in my room and rehearse dancing like hours and hours on end. And it was only until sort of like my mid-teens I joined a band and started sort of singing. But I'd say the early stuff was Michael Jackson. Seeing that and then literally making a mental note saying, I need to be able to move like that and present myself that way. I don't know what it was, but it was just something that snapped inside.
Shout out to MJ.
For me, it was, I was in school and I heard the Arctic Monkeys' first album. And the first song that they released, I was like, wow, this is, they're all like 17. I was probably about 12. I just remember being like, wow, I want to be in a band. So they gave music lessons at my school, so I was like, I want to play drums. And then it meant that I'd get 15 minutes off a maths lesson every day. So win-win. And, yeah, 14 minutes later,
With mine, I played clarinet when I was a kid. I played in sort of school orchestra and stuff like that. And then as I got older, I think I was 13 when Hot Fuss by The Killers came out. And my dad played guitar, and I heard that, and I was like, I can't play this on my clarinet. So I ended up learning guitar and bass kind of simultaneously then, and then starting my own school bands and kind of touring from then, and then got a taste from that, and then eventually met these guys out on the road to join this band.
Quick question, just run down the line: which of you have had music, formal music training?
Lessons.
When I was very young, I had like guitar lessons when I was about 9 years old, but I did not enjoy it because, unlike Gethin, the guitar lessons ate up into my lunchtime recess break, as you call it. So it, I just hated it. But for me, when we moved into a house, and there was a piano in there, and that was it. I just fell in love with it. I didn't really have any lessons. It was just, I liked to see it all in front of me, but I think I've never really, I don't think I've ever sort of like paid for any music course or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, so I've jumped you again there, sorry, mate.
No, I hadn't had any training. I had piano lessons until like five, but I didn't. Really
just curious.
Yeah,
I failed my music exam actually because I couldn't read the music.
One thing that I would say, I wish I could go back now and learn piano when I was a kid, because I feel like learning that just gives you an understanding of pretty much every instrument you can ever play. And that's, I started learning piano, I'm 27, and I started at the start of this year. And what I knew with my guitar and bass knowledge, as soon as I played piano, having, this is like 13 years after starting to learn guitar, everything made sense. And it did in a sense on one instrument, but I was like, wow, this is really, I was like, why did I not learn piano instead of clarinet? That probably would have been good.
And to your point, Jed, I mean, it's much harder to learn an instrument the older you get. So it's often why at music schools or you see a lot of young people, because it's much easier to learn. I teach some drummers that are over 50 years old, and it is brutal.
Yeah.
Like, forget it.
It's the same as any, like, learning a language as well.
I don't know about that. See, I would have to disagree with you on that. I think you learn when you want to.
Yeah.
Totally. Like,
you're hungry.
I think if someone wants something, then they can grab it and get it, no matter how old they are. And I think we all have the capability of sitting down and absorbing lessons and theory and stuff like that. I think, yeah, it's easier when you're younger, but it's not. I think, for me, it's like, I'm similar. I did everything so late in life. You know, I didn't start singing until I was like 16, 17, and then actually taking it, quote, seriously until I was like in my early 20s, you know, and then with piano and stuff like that, I've only been playing it for probably like 5 years. But now I play it on stage every night. All right, as well.
Not too bad. Any more questions from the galley? Annabella? Annabella is a drummer here at the box.
How was the experience of shooting the video Body Talks with Kesha and all that? How was that?
The Kesha question. A lot of people have been asking about Kesha, fellas. No offense.
That's good. She's
awesome.
She's
great video and great single, too.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
It was actually really, as music videos go, have you guys shot videos? Have you done anything at all? Like,
of course they are.
Yeah, some have.
Well, I don't know.
Not like,
yeah,
not at your level.
Not when,
but
you're,
there's plenty of, yeah.
Not the 3 a.m. starting.
No.
Yeah,
no.
But like, it can be a very tiresome experience. And with this was so painless with Kesha. It was her brother actually directed it. So it was just so chilled out, such a good vibe on set. And she's a lovely girl. And I mean, as you can see from the video, it wasn't exactly boring to make. It was definitely, we had some fun,
yeah.
So that was actually our favorite video to make, I think. It was a breeze. Minus the 3 a.m. flight that we had to do together.
I would say, like, where you guys are now, that is when you're gonna have the most fun making, like, any visual. Because, no, honestly, it's
I agree with you.
When we first got together, and even just before, like, the Struts was, quote, fully formed, I used to shoot videos with, like, my friend who had just, like, studied, like, you know, he'd gone to, like, a short film school kind of course. And it was the most fun, because it's so, you've got no budget, you have no money, and that forces you to be so much more creative. And it's like, we've done videos for $500,000 and they're fantastic, but it's a completely different experience. When you're at this stage now, it's totally you, and the more you make, the more you're gonna grow in confidence, and you'll be able to physically see exactly like what you're about, what works, what doesn't work. And that will actually ultimately, in the future, benefit you so much, because you'll have an understanding of what you enjoy, what you don't like, which is almost as important as what you do like. So when it comes to like doing a big budget video, you'll be able to like speak to the director, which they'll love as well, and they'll be able to sort of understand what you're comfortable with and what you're not comfortable with, and what you love doing and what you don't love doing. So the music videos you'll make now are going to be the greatest ones ever, trust me.
I could second that regarding the studio. I'm not a crazy fan about studio. Video shoots and studio time.
I see, studio for me, I'm going to have to disagree with you again.
I'm giving a ride back.
Don't get me wrong, I think the the self-discovery of sitting down and making your own demos, which I'm sure like everyone in this room is involved in one shape or form, those are really special moments as well. And getting used to like recording is something that you'll become very quickly addicted to. Like I know I was as soon as I started.
I'm gonna have to disagree with you, man.
As soon as I started like putting stuff down and it started sounding half decent, it was like you can't stop, and then you're just constantly doing it. And there are times when I prefer recording than I do going out and playing live. But when money is like no object and you have like an engineer who works as fast as lightning and can put down ideas that you hear in your head, I mean, that's a joy. It's brilliant.
Cool. Well, we're going to have to wrap this up. I wanted to just make some comments.
We've got another joke. We've got questions.
Oh, Jed. Go ahead, Jed. Do you have something to say?
Sorry, man. We just had this lad had a question.
Oh, yes, please. Go ahead.
What song have you made that you're most proud of? Like, what's your favorite song you've made?
It probably varies from member to member, but we had a song, new song called Fire Part 1 that we released last week. And that was one that we worked with Butch Walker on. He's an amazing producer.
From Atlanta.
From Atlanta, yeah. And it's just a song that really kind of fits my personal taste, like bands kind of like The Killers, Thin Lizzy, like a lot of harmonies in it. So that's my personal favorite.
I like all of them.
Good answer.
Every single one of them. Honestly, the best ones are the ones with blood, sweat, and tears, and you should be proud of every single one of them as much as the next, the ones that you haven't made yet. Anything that you show anyone or record should be super proud of. If you're not proud of it and you don't believe in it, then just delete it, throw it in the bin, give it to someone else, give it to your mate to sing who likes it, you know? That's how the music industry works.
I have another quick question. I have 100, but did you guys grow up going to Wembley Stadium?
No.
No?
It's destroyed now.
Well, where did you play with Queen?
We never played with Queen.
I'm sorry. The Foo Fighters.
Oh, the Foo Fighters.
I'm messing this up. It's making me nervous.
We didn't do the UK with the Foos. We did on and off about 8 months throughout the whole of the States. And a little bit. Did we do Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did Toronto as well.
Well, the track I keep playing here at the box is with you and the Foos doing the Queen cover.
Yeah.
That was not at Wembley?
No.
What? Where was it?
Every night.
Okay, man. Glad you can't see my face. It's a little red.
This kid with the shark T-shirt.
Yeah, please go. Go ahead. You got a question, Cole?
Why are you guys called the Struts?
Ah, there you go.
See, if anyone else asked me that, I wouldn't answer.
You should do this interview.
Good. Well, the name was coined when it was actually our previous manager. We were in rehearsals for the first ever recording session with me and Adam, and we were rehearsing with me, Ads, and a couple of like session guys. This is way before Joe and Geoff joined the band, and I was just doing my thing, and he said, "You guys should be called the Struts." And I was like, "Yeah, great, but I bet that's taken," and it wasn't. Trust me, that band names are the hardest thing you ever, ever.
Who's in here trying to figure out their band name right now? Raise your hand. There's three. There they are.
It's so hard. It's so hard. Sometimes, but
should we name them?
Yes. Oh, that's the best. Get it on film.
It's tough. But remember as well, music makes the name. There are a lot of names coming out that I hate, but then you hear the music and you associate great music with that name, and then it becomes even more unique. I think we've got a pretty run-of-the-mill name, to be honest. It's very, I don't know.
It's maybe got some moxie, though.
It's a little bit retro. It's a little bit, you know, 2003. But it's kind of cool. I like it.
Even Dave Grohl said with the Foo Fighters, he just put out that first demo album and just chucked down any name, and then he was like, "If I knew how successful we'd be, I wouldn't have chosen such a terrible band."
It's true. All right, guys, you got any more questions, Annabella?
Hey, can you guys play a song for us? Is that a thing or no?
Oh, I don't know if that's.
Are you coming to the gig tonight?
Yes.
We'll play 2 hours worth of songs for you later.
Yeah, that's true. I might be able to.
Another lesson in music, right? Don't play unless you're getting paid. Who's
us? What are your, some of your favorite bands that you're listening to that you enjoy?
My favorite bands are Queen. It really depends. I'm listening to Queen, Scott Walker, ELO, The Struts. A lot of the Struts. You have to.
Do you still listen to that record?
You've got to. Yeah. I mean, like, whether you like it or not, I mean, when the mixes start coming back and forth and, you can't seal the deal on the song, it's like you've got to listen to every single track about 5 or 6 times with each mix. I mean, you have to. You know, and then I got to remember the lyrics as well, so I got to go over it.
Do you guys use lyric monitors?
We ain't got budget for that, mate.
Favorite bands. Oasis are probably my favorite band. Every time someone asks me this, I always get blank.
Yeah, Oasis.
Do you like their new projects, Liam's and Noel's?
I like Noel's first solo album. I thought the second one was okay, and I thought the third one was a bit ambitious, not really for me. And then I loved the first Liam album.
I did?
Yeah, really, really good.
Oasis, The Killers, Queen, The Kinks, Thin Lizzy. A lot of 70s stuff. I like a lot of 50s stuff as well. The band, like I said, the band that got me into music was The Killers. And I kind of discovered all the other music from there, really.
My favourite band are actually based in Tampa. They don't have a name yet. I'm actually a bit starstruck because they're over there.
Dude.
So that's my favourite band.
Huge shout out to your no-name band. What was it last week? You know, we were thinking Kayleen and the Waves because her name's Kayleen. And they didn't even know who Katrina and the Waves were. So.
What about the Pistols?
The Pistols! They're only 13.
You can spell it P-I-S-S. Tools. I keep forgetting how young everyone is here. Sorry.
Alright, Devin, you have a question? I just put her on the spot. Mr. Joey in the back. Yes, sir.
I do. Hey, guys.
Hey, Joey.
Congratulations on your success. My daughter's sitting down here somewhere.
Hello.
Hey, Zandra.
Zandra.
You guys obviously wear your influences on your sleeves. It comes out in music. The music's fantastic. You're all amazing players, and you have the type of buzz that totally, I mean, you're on your way to the next level. It's got to be exciting, just like when The Killers' first album came out. I went to their first shows, and I went, boom, here it is. This is like U2 all over again, except at that time I was a little older. But how do you handle that kind of pressure? And Luke, it's kind of a double-edged sword question for you. I mean, you're being compared to Freddie Mercury. You know, that's huge, man. How do you guys handle that? And kudos to you, because the music absolutely backs it up, and you guys are, awesome.
Thank you, man. Thank you. With the comparisons, I just take everything with a huge, huge pinch of salt, because it's kind of human nature for us to kind of pigeonhole people and categorize them. Steven Tyler, for the first 7 years of their career, was just told he was a Mick Jagger wannabe. Queen, when they first came out, were Led Zeppelin ripoffs. It takes a while to kind of establish yourself as something unique, and that only happens through time. And, with the pressure is just, like I said, the nonsense that can surround an individual in this business, you have to remember the most important thing is your show and the music. That's it. Everything else is rubbish. You know, the people that surround you aren't always the best ones. You have to be able to recognize that. Stay off the drink. Stay off everything else. Especially touring. That's what I found anyway. If you want to work and be the best, you have to work twice as hard as everyone else. And drink, etc. Those are things that just distract you and slow you down, and will make you not as sharp as you could be. And it just makes life easier. So, yeah. Yeah, the band would disagree with me on that. But it's and I would as well. Like, I mean, I'm particularly hard on myself because the show is so demanding. And look, I love to hit the pub and have a couple of drinks as much as the next person. But when you've got, for instance, we've got 43 shows left on this tour, and we're doing just shy of 2 hours every night, 5 days a week, along with promotion and meet and greets, saying hello to everyone, interviews, etc. It all piles up, and what I found after touring this country has been a real baptism of fire, in a way that I've learnt things about myself that I didn't know before touring so intensively. And what I've learnt is that what really makes me happy in life is walking off stage knowing that I, as an individual, did the best I absolutely could and worked and sang the best that I could have. And, you know, there's sacrifices that need to be made in order to do that. So I tend to stay sober as a judge throughout the whole touring. And then when I get home, I live at the pub.
Well, we were having a discussion about that coming in, and it's, I won't wax on, but to have a singer in a leader type position, as you said, Joey, it's a really double-edged sword for him. You know, all eyes are on Luke for the most part. And as, you know, it's constantly, and you have to keep it together. And to keep it sober is what we were talking about. For me, I mean, every night after the show, there's a party. You have to use that discipline to stay focused, because there's a team behind you of 20 people all day long that are making all this happen. And
yeah.
If you let them down, then what's the point?
Yeah, there's the thing that really keeps me going is every night when we go out to the audiences, and especially now the audiences, when we first came here was a couple of hundred, and now we're playing over like 1,000 people pretty much every night and more. And I look at everyone, and they've all paid good money. And it's my job. It's my job to entertain them. It's my job to make sure that everyone leaves happy. It's kind of like, that's part of your job as a performer. Maybe not as an artist. That's not your job. When you're writing your music, you write it for yourself, not for anyone else. But if you're the type of band that we are, and we like to put on a show, then you're entering a different world of, please, the audience, everyone needs to leave happy, everyone needs to leave satisfied and wanting more, and we want them to come back. And we've kind of got like an old school approach to that. But yeah.
It's really refreshing. I think you're an artist, say that. It's like, yes. So with all my bands, I wish they could have heard our conversation, because you have a job to do, and it's to entertain people, and there's a lot of people helping support that. If you don't do your job, none of it's, what's the point?
Yeah. Yeah, they all do. Lady at the back, while the air conditioning.
Jillian, give us a question, girl.
How did you guys find each other, figure out you guys like vibe and like music together? Because finding a band and finding people to write is hard.
I say every band is different. It really is. In all honesty, the way this band came together, like our music, everything was so unique and was probably not the way that any of us would have panned out. You know, we're not the group of guys that grew up in the same town, going to school with each other, decided to start a band. It wasn't like that at all.
We did all have our school bands first.
Yeah.
But then that was when you discover that people have different priorities, and you're very lucky to all grow up in the same town, at the same age, go to the same school, and working with other types of musicians as well helps you grow as a musician as well.
It's like, but what happened was me and Adam got signed, and then because Adam is from sort of like the Midlands of Derby, I'm all the way down south, it was quite hard for our worlds to kind of connect. So we did it kind of like the old fashioned way, where we were just going out there saying, hey, you know, is there anyone who would like to join this band? And we literally had, quote, people coming in for the day who were in touch with our managers, and we would kind of spend a day with them, and we'd be like, he's really nice, but he can't play. Or he can play, but he's very annoying. And we had two members that we sort of like young, naively at the time thought were you know, the be all and end all, and it just didn't work out that way. The record label that eventually went under, for what it's worth, kind of like recognized that it wasn't what we needed, it wasn't what the music needed, and I found out that later on that there were a bunch of people, like producers that we were working with, who kind of felt the same, but knew that we were close, so couldn't really, it wasn't their place to say, and it was only afterwards that we sort of said, you know what, we've been advised to, you know, take a look at the lineup and say, is it the best it can be? And we sadly sort of had to let them go, and then, you know, 3 weeks later, we sort of like, again, we were back at square one after a year and a half of being with each other. So we had a bunch of people come through, and I remember when we first met Geth, it was kind of like, this was years ago, and Geth was very young as well at the time. And we actually played the Arctic Monkeys, me, him, and Ads, in a rehearsal space in Derby. And I remember Adam was like, I really like his vibe. He really plays hard. And I was like, oh man, I don't know. I don't know, man. But it worked out really well, and obviously I couldn't imagine any other way. And Jed, very similar thing. We had a bunch of people come in, and Jed seemed to be like a very solid player, very easy to kind of like get along with, and you know, and some people might look at that and say, oh well, it's not a real band. Well, I tell you what makes you a real band is like staying with each other almost 7 to 10 years after that. You know, I mean, we then embarked on years of traveling around the UK and then Europe in a tiny little transit van, driving hundreds and hundreds of miles with very little sleep, doing shows for nothing. We performed in front of 3 people one night. You know, after
up
all
and down
of
Paris, right?
Up and down France, we used to play all the time. We did these tours in the UK. We definitely paid our dues, and I think it made us very tight, but I think, how do you know if you vibe off each other? It's tough. You either instantly come together and it's like you're all on the same page musically, and that's fine. You know, it can happen like that. Or you all share a common goal. And with the Struts, it wasn't like we were all into the same sort of music. In fact, we were very different people when we first met. But we all had a common goal, and that was, we want to work hard, we want to succeed, and the music, the look, everything came through hard work and getting to know each other better, just out of pure experience.
Awesome.
Yes.
So this, I'm the mother of the songbird back here. On the business side of things, did you have someone promoting you that you paid, or someone who found you and promoted you? And like, how did you get traction and get started?
So that's a weird question, because, I mean, it's not a weird question, sorry, it comes with a lot of answers, because knowing what I know now, you can either go two ways about it. You either have a manager who already exists within the music world. The problem is, with a manager, anyone could be the manager. The landlord at the pub could be your manager, you know, if they say so, or your mum could be your manager. But it's
Sydney.
It's great having someone who's at. We were lucky enough to, our first managers were actually in the business. They had previous success with a bunch of other groups that happened before us. So, and we were familiar with them as well. So it was like, we knew that was legit. For some people, getting a fantastic agent is a way to go forward first, because we were in a very strange position where we had good managers for where we were, but our agent wasn't getting enough shows at one point, you know, for years. And it really depends on what kind of artist and band you are. If you're a brand and you've got tracks and you're ready to go and you're like, yes, let's do this, then having a fantastic agent that will know promoters that can send you on some sort of small tour or gigging around as local as you can, you'll create enough noise if you're good enough that someone will come and check you out, and they'll probably want to kind of like manage you. You know, if that, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I would say again, knowing what we know now, that there were bands, I don't know if you guys ever remember MySpace, but that was how we discovered, music growing up, and there'd be loads of bands that I'd be 15 and kind of trying to manage and tour manage my school band, because we didn't want to commit to having a manager at the time. But I'd always wonder how these other bands on MySpace would get these huge opportunities, and in my humble opinion, I didn't think they were particularly any better than our group was. But I would later find out that they had great management behind them, and so the relationships that the management had made. At the time, I was very naive and thought, oh, maybe we're just rubbish. Maybe they've just got rich parents. Do you know what I mean? Like, but actually, the most important thing, and we're finding now, we got new managers 3 or 4 years ago before coming to the States, and even just the opportunities that we get that we wouldn't have otherwise from having a great manager is incredibly important.
Their manager allowed them to come here today, in fact. Yeah. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben. It's good news.
You had one? We got to take one more, maybe, and we got to wrap up. Go ahead.
What's the difference between touring in Europe and the UK than the States?
You can do the UK in 2 weeks. It takes 2 years to do the US.
It takes 2 weeks to do Texas.
Honestly.
The audiences.
Oh, the audience. Mate. Our audiences are very unique, lovely people all around the country, and that goes for everywhere around the world. We're kind of lucky that when people come to the Strut Show, they know that they're going to have to bring their A game. They know that they've got to get involved. It's the same as when fans of the Rocky Horror Picture Show dress up in suspenders and high heels and go watch it in the cinema, because that's the done thing. And it's kind of like we've made and slogged it out so much here that people know what to expect. So everyone comes to the Strut Show ready to sing, dance, wave about, and clap their hands, and there is no difference.
So you can't tell on stage whether you're there or here.
No.
Yeah.
The better
because
they're way more rowdy.
Dude, that's what I was trying to
get you. There's always going to be a USA champ. Always. Whatever gig we do.
Yeah. Yeah, people like, you know, yeah, they're definitely more rowdy here.
Okay.
Cool. But then again, you know, you get your stiff crowds like LA, yeah. New York.
If you guys played all these corporate benefits and all these, a bunch of record label suits just stare at you and go, yeah, they're good.
It's tough. Yeah. That's when you close your eyes and say, oh, I'm at Wembley.
Hey guys, we do have to wrap this up. The band has got to get back to the Orpheum for tonight's show. I hope you're all going. So please give a big warm welcome. Yay! Photographer here, Sammy, has agreed to get a quick photo. So if all of you come to the stage really quick and face that wall, we'll do a quick photo. We'll get the band out of here.
Yeah. Thank you so much, guys. Yeah. Good to meet you.
Good up for the Struts. Come on. All right, come. We gotta do it quick. All right, so everybody, come there.
Oh, we got the wall.